So we have a 74-year-old woman with a 20-year history of systemic hypertension. She has a lateralized apex beat on physical exam, as evidenced by it being in the anterior axillary line, 6th intercostal space. Normally, we expect that point of maximal impulse to be in the 4th intercostal space, left midclavicular line. So what that tells us is we have left ventricular hypertrophy / enlargement. We do not know the cause based on this finding alone, but it tells us at the minimum, left ventricular enlargement. Now, when we put this in combination with the systemic hypertension, increase afterload on the left ventricle, that makes sense. That left ventricle will have to enlarge to compensate for that increased afterload it's facing. That pressure is going to back up into the left atrium, cause left atrial dilatation, and in turn, that left atrial pressure will back up into the pulmonary venules and the pulmonary capillaries. Left atrial pressure equals pulmonary capillary wedge pressure. Now, increased hydrostatic pressure in the pulmonary vasculature will lead to a transudation of fluid into the alveolar spaces that will give us the pulmonary edema, which is why we have the bibasilar crackles here. In addition, we can look at, so first of all, just looking at the answer choices, yes, left atrial pressure will be increased, okay? And then we look at the others, stroke volume and peripheral vascular resistance. We can say that, first of all, it's actually interesting that stroke volume, the options are up or down. And the reason that's interesting is because some people could make a case that in hypertensive disease, you have isolated diastolic dysfunction where the left ventricle can't expand as well as it should, but you still have preserved ejection fraction and stroke volume. But that's not an option here, okay? So we have to assume, because we're not going to have increased stroke volume, okay? There are causes of high output cardiac failure, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now and digress. But we can make an inference that this question is referring to systolic dysfunction, which can be caused by hypertension as well and lead to dilated cardiomyopathy, which is consistent with having the lateralized apex beat in the pulmonary edema. So we'd say the heart's not pumping as well as it should. The stroke volume is going to be lower. Okay, fine. And we already know left atrial pressure will be increased. So then when we consider peripheral vascular resistance, this is an interesting one and also provides you some value mechanistically. If the heart is not pumping as well as it should, doesn't it make sense that the kidneys aren't perfused as well as they should be, right? So therefore, you're going to get an upregulation of the renin-angiotensin system, and not only are you going to get increased fluid retention through aldosterone mechanisms, but you would also get increase angiotensin II, causing agonism and constriction, will agonize its receptors on the peripheral arterioles and cause constriction, increasing peripheral vascular resistance. So that provides value because if you're ever asked, oh, why do you get increased peripheral vascular resistance in heart failure? It's because when the heart's not pumping as well as it should be, the kidneys aren't perfused as well as they should be, and RAS, the renin angiotensin system, gets kicked up. A lot we can talk about. Could literally turn this into a 90-minute lecture on just like aldosterone, RAS. But I think the key here is just saying we have a patient with systemic hypertension. It's going to cause the left ventricle to fail. And then in turn, our RAS, so our stroke volume's low. In turn, our RAS gets upregulated, so our peripheral vascular resistance is high. And then the left atrial pressure is increased because of that backup to the left atrium. And in turn, that also justifies our pulmonary edema. Increased left atrial pressure means increased pulmonary capillary wedge pressure. That's it.